as he is in this world, so are we. So we, as he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
True indeed,
as he is in this world, so are we.
Get it?
You know his love is sufficient. Ask for a blessing, he send it. To not believe is indignant. Full of grace, can you dig it? He can't be mocked, so don't try it. You think you can and you frying. Satan lies, but don't buy it. To know his love, I'm excited. Release. While falling to my knees, feel like flowing through the breeze, just like Christopher Reeves. Gotta practice what we preach, cause this world could be a beach built on a rock, so storms they won't breach. Say love, y'all know that's what he is. Blesses us with his gifts, cause we are indeed his kids. Peace, he is the son of man. We don't always understand, but need to follow his plan. Pray, it's how we talk to our dad. When we do it, he is glad. Best feeling we can have.
Faith,
we don't have it, we're a mess. Go through trials to get a test, but we pass and get blessed.
Get it.
You are now riding with the Dashboard Pastor, aka DBP. So strap in, get your mind ready, and let's roll. What is going on, good peoples? It is me, Anthony, the Dashboard Pastor. I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the DBP. Today I want to start off with a story. I have the story that came to mind, and just roll with me. So I want to tell you a story about a family man. Guy creates a business. The business he creates is for, you know, or for the purposes of having a business, but also for legacy sake. And we'll just say, for the sake of this, we'll call this man Yah. We'll just say Yah. His name is Yah. And he tells his kids, This is you. What I've done right now is I've set this business up for legacy for y'all. For right now, you know, I need you to keep it. I need you to watch over it. I need you to do what you're doing. I need you to man everything. And you can make whatever decisions you want to make. You do you. For the purpose of the business. Except for, there's the small piece, hello Candace. There's a small piece of the business I don't want you to touch. But other than that, it's all you. And I'm gonna come in, check in with you every once in a while, make sure everything, you know, I'll come in, check with you, make sure all is good. So the kids running the business. Kids make a bad business decision. And that bad business decision they make was based off of the guidelines that Yah had set up and told them, I need you to follow these guidelines. And that one piece that I told you not to, that piece of the business I told you to leave alone, they dug into thinking it was going to make things better. And so this business now fell in the hands of the competitor to run because the kids made a bad decision. Okay. So Yah upset with his kids, but he's not like, I'm done with y'all. I don't have nothing else for y'all. Yah decides that he's going to I lost my train of thought. Yah decides, all right, well, they did that. I'm gonna have to figure out another way to help them out. In the meantime, they like to learn some lessons. Oh. Okay. Apparently, I was sharing a lane with this person for a minute. But Yah decides, okay, I'm gonna have to figure out a different way to help them. But as it is right now, you know, I got some stuff I set in place, and well, we'll just go forward. But I love them. I got things for them, so all'll be well. But the kids go out and, you know, they realize their mistake, but you got to keep stepping. You got to keep living. So the kids are going out doing whatever, you know. They multiply. They, you know, they have other kids. Things are going on. Things are progressing. Along the way, Yah comes in and is like, all right, I got to make some new rules for y'all. Wait, correction. I have to add some rules. Let me change that. Thank you. I had to add some rules because right now, the point y'all are at, you're just making it worse for yourselves. And if you're trying to get back into business, the route you're going ain't going to help you. So I need you to follow these guidelines in order to get you back in the swing of things. And the kids are like, yeah, okay, cool. That's great. That'll help us get back into the business. We need this. Well, they're looking at these guidelines. They're internalizing these guidelines, and they're thinking, right, okay, this is how I'm going to get back into the business that Dad started because of, you know, the mistakes that were made. But if we follow these guidelines, we'll get back. And Yah, he's just watching. He's telling them, you know, he's talking to them here and there, like, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to focus on this. You getting a little distracted here. You bring it back in here. I need you to be here. The kids are like, yeah. Some days they're like, yeah, yes, we're with you. Yes, we need to do that. Other days the kids are like, man, you know, you sound like you're just nagging, Dad. Why are you just nagging? I don't want to hear that. And so the kids are coming to a place where they're close to getting back into the business. And then they make a choice. And then all of a sudden they're not. And they're on the outside looking in again. And they're like, gosh, how do we get back into this? Dad gave us these guidelines, but struggling with these guidelines. I don't know how to do these guidelines. It's not right. It's not fair. These guidelines are too hard for me to get to. But I need to get back into business because we got to eat. How are we going to survive without getting back into the business? Yah's listening. You know, sprinkles a little wisdom here. I'll tell you this, tell you that. Same cycle. Some days they hear, some days they don't. Going back to this guidelines thing and being in this mindset of, I don't know, this is just astronomical. And then it goes from a point of, how do I do this, to now the kids are saying, I don't think dad loves us. He made this way too hard for us. Why would he make it this hard if he loves us? Why is he doing all of this? All he has to do is just say this. I mean, he created this business. This is his business. The dude that is running it now, all he has to do is take it from him. Dad made the business. And Dad was like, well, okay, I mean, I could, but that ain't how I didn't set it up that way. I set it up that you gotta, you know, to follow these steps, these processes, and that's how it works. And y'all ain't follow the process. So I know you don't like homie, but that's what he's running this right now. But if y'all chill, I got a plan that'll get you back in the business. I just need y'all to listen to me. It's coming though. kids are like, yeah, oh yeah, dad, right? Dad's finally gonna come through. Dad is coming through. He's got something for us. Dad is gonna come through. He's gonna do something great. And so the kids, talking amongst themselves, start visualizing what dad is going to do when he comes back, when he takes the business back, when he gives control of the business back to the kids. They're thinking that dad is going to do some big thing. He's gonna come in, kick the door in, and be like, hey, dude, you messed up my business long enough. I'm coming through, and you're out of here. This is what the kids visualize. This ain't what their dad is planning, though. Dad has another plan. So, he starts telling them things like, hey, one of your siblings, if you pay attention, I got one of your siblings is gonna come through, and he's gonna show you exactly what you need to do to get back in the business. But you need to follow what he's telling you. And you gotta believe what he's saying. Okay, cool. Cause when he comes, he gonna be the one to kick in the door then, and we gonna go in and get this business back. Well, the other sibling comes, and he's like, hey, I got the keys to the door. We can go up in here and we can get this business back. But I'm not kicking in the door, we gonna walk in. And along the way, we gonna have to do some things like helping here and doing this. And we gotta keep talking to dad and asking dad to guide us to what we need to do to get back in the business. What are the proper steps? But I tell you, if you listen to me, I got you. And then, you know, somewhere along the way, some of the kids are like, nah, this don't make no sense to me. This is dumb. All you got to do is just go in here and take this business and it's ours. But some decide, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to pay attention to what's going on. I'm going to listen to what my brother here is saying. Because, you know, he talks. And it makes sense what he says. And I found that when I listened to him, he got some wisdom behind him. And I tend to gain something when he speaks. And I found the more I listen to him, the more I'm in the business. I'm following the business model. And although the dude that took over, you know, although my brother didn't kick him out per se, I found that the more I listened to my little brother, what the cat that is running the business does or says isn't as hurtful, harmful. It doesn't sting. It doesn't seem like he has as much control as I once thought. In fact, I'm finding the more I listen to my brother, this dude that I thought had control over the company doesn't really have control over the company. He's just a figurehead. He's just someone barking loud, not saying nothing, trying to point fingers here and there. He's not even really running the business. He's trying to destroy the business. He's trying to cause chaos because he's mad because, come to find out, this was another one of my brothers that dad was talking, you know, he thought he was better than dad, and he got the boot. So he found a loophole to get in, and now he's just trying to destroy dad's business. But my little brother here has the keys to get into the business and has shown me that, in fact, if I listen to him and I follow him, I never really lost the business. I lost the concept. I lost grasp of what I was looking at with getting in the business. Let me reword that. I did lose the business, but I didn't lose it in the sense that I never can get it back. I lost it in the sense that all I needed to do was pay attention to what my brother was saying and understand that what my dad said and put in place wasn't really that bad. And aside from a little mistake that some of my other siblings made, the path has been laid for me to get back into business. Now, if you know this story I am telling you, I'm sure you figured out by now, is the gospel. I hope that the way that I told this story sinks in, because, well, I believe that Jesus spoke in parables, so he utilized these parables to connect to his peeps. Excuse me. But he did that because he knew that people needed a visual. So yes, the little brother in this story is Jesus. I said little brother because he came out a long way. God, Yahweh, if you didn't know. And the children are encompassing of, well, us. Adam and Eve, on down to us. And the one brother who got control was Lucifer, who became Satan. Now here's the thing. Satan has been given power over the principles of the earth because Adam and Eve didn't listen to what Daddy said. And over the span of time, people were trying to find ways to get back into God's grace. But what they weren't doing was paying attention to what God was saying. And people got further and further away from God. So God enacted a plan. We know them as the law. Some people know them only as the Ten Commandments, but it was way more than that. Like 613 rules and regulations. God enacts this plan, though. But he doesn't enact this plan because he doesn't want you to get in. He enacts this plan because he wants you to understand that the way that you think you're going to get in ain't the way to get in. In fact, you can't get in on your own. You need help. That was the whole purpose of the law. For people to understand that, this is really hard and I really can't do this. I have no idea how to figure this out. Every time I try to do this, I mess up. Every time I want to go left, I go right. Every time I want to go up, I go down. I'm struggling with this. And we focused on the law in the sense that we thought that because we weren't following A through Z, we weren't going to get in. And there's truth in that, in the sense that that's where Jesus comes in. That's where the little brother comes in. God brought Jesus in to be like, look, y'all, you weren't ever supposed to do all this. I knew you couldn't do this. And if you weren't full of pride, you would know that you couldn't do this. Y'all, this is too much. But I need you to be right to receive my son so that you could follow him, so that you could love him, so that you can internalize him, so that you could accept him so that you can get in to the graces that were lost from the mistake that Adam and Eve made. It was never a forever sentence. It was never a death sentence in the way that, well, they screwed up, it's done. No, Dad always had a way for us to get back into business. We had to humble ourselves. We had to humble ourselves. We had to get past thinking, what can I do to get in? To go to the mindset of, I know what I do won't get me in. How do I get in? That's the right mindset. That's the place where Jesus comes in. I don't know if anybody's ever explained the gospel, and I left out so much, but I wanted to give a real life tangible comparison so that people didn't see it as God hates us. God is punishing us. God doesn't like us, because that is not the case. And it never has been the case. Satan has been feeding us with that's the case so that we don't follow him, so that we don't follow that route, so that we get lost in us and we forget to look at him. However, he loved, here's the part. He loves us so much that he lets us to make decisions on our own. And that he doesn't swoop in talking about some, I'm gonna set this right. What he does is, right on, praise God, Heather. What he does is he's like, hey, I love you. Do you. I got it. I understand. But no. There's some consequences to the choices you make. And you got to deal with the consequences of that. So, where am I going with this? Sin is a consequence. There's a consequence for sin. There's a natural consequence for sin. If you do 95 and a 55, you're going to get a ticket, whether you believe in God or not. If you murder somebody, you're going to go to prison, whether you believe in God or not. If you rob a bank, you're going to go to prison. If you cheat on your spouse, you most likely will be divorced, or your partner, or whomever that is. If you are dishonest to everybody, no one's going to believe you, whether you believe in God or not. And none of the things that I said are proof whether you believe in God or not. None of the things are how you get in and out of heaven. Those are not the things that get you. That's not the point. The point is there's a natural consequence to sin. And God says, I love you. I'll let you make your own choice. And I'll also let you deal with the choices that you make. So, if what you're going through is uncomfortable, make some different choices. If you don't like where you're at, make some different choices. But that doesn't exclude you from heaven. It doesn't exclude you from heaven. That's why he sent the little brother to get you back in the business. That was the whole purpose of him. Jesus came and was like, all right, I'm going to do what y'all couldn't do. And I'm going to do it so well that I got it covered. And if you believe me, we all getting in. And that is the gospel. And a proof that God loved us, I don't know if I'm going to read this whole thing. I plan to. But proof that God loved us. In Genesis 1, 26 through 31, I'll paraphrase it. He talks about we're going to make people in our image. We created God, God created male and female in his image. God put us to multiply, to be fruitful, to govern. That's a good one, because we were sent here to control the earthly realm. That was our purpose. It still is our purpose. Now, when people hear control, I know I've probably lost people by saying that. So I'll go back to govern. I'm not saying control like dictatorship. So govern, watch over, keep track of, make sure things are right. Be project managers, there you go. Project managers. We're supposed to be project managers over the earth. That was our purpose. We gave that to Satan. But what I want to get at on this, because all of this to get to this point, and I'm gonna read this part in here, and it says, after he did all of that, after he created people, after he created man and woman, and he gave them all this power to govern, to manage. He said in verse 31, then God looked over all he had made and said it was very good. So when God looks at you, he says it was very good. What I created was very good. That person that I created was very good. Not just that professional athlete or that politician or that rich person or that pastor or that insert. That's not what he said. He said when he created humans and put everything in them, when he was done, he said it was very good. What does that mean? He loves you. You are the apple of his eye. He is proud of you. And he's here for you. The only separation from us and him is this. When we let this take over and we think we are better than, or good without, or we can do better, or my way this, or all of the things that Lucifer did, and we see what that did for him. So, I hope this ministered to you. This was absolutely not what I was going to talk about this week. In fact, I had something different in mind, and God brought this to me while sitting in the steam room. He said, you need to talk about the gospel in a different way. I'm sure I'm not the only person that has used the metaphor of the business. I'm not even trying to go that route. My prayer is that what I ended with, saying that God said that when he made you, he said it was very good. All of the gospel points to that. And this makes John 3:16 that much more important, when he says that, hey, Jesus was my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, if we align ourselves with Jesus, we are covered in Jesus, then we are his beloved son in whom he's very well pleased, because he sees Jesus when he sees us. The gospel. So he was well pleased. He said it was very good when he first created us. And then when Jesus came on the scene, he said he's very well pleased in him. And Jesus came in to stand, to be our advocate, our lawyer, our buffer, however you want to hear that. And he said, hey, and I'm really pleased in this dude because he did everything I asked him to do and then some. So if you connect yourself with him, it's just like you him. I don't know if that revelation should free people to not be stuck in this rut of God hates me. He doesn't. You know, God doesn't even hate people who don't even like him or believe in him. I'm sure religion or people who the opposite have tried to teach different than that. But God doesn't hate people who don't even believe in him. In fact, if you read the Gospels, Jesus talks about that. Love your enemies. That's what that is. That is like, hey, I even love the people who will spit in my face. That's the God that I serve. That is the God that I go to. That is the God that is here for all of us. The one that's love. I don't have the hat on today, but if you've watched the church service, we have this church. I'm decked out in my Michigan because they play today. But the hat says love first. It's based off of love God, love people. That connected to 1 John 4:7 or 9, I don't remember exactly, but it said God loved us first. God is love. So if love comes first and God is love, then that means God first. And God came to us because God brought Jesus because he loved us, not because we loved him. In fact, there was this gap of time where people didn't even want to be bothered, which there's still that gap of time because there's still people who don't want to be bothered. But he loves them. And he wants to be there for them. And he might send you to do that. Do you want to do that? I'll end on this. I wasn't going to mention this, but it goes with what I just said. I had a conversation the other day at the gym. I was sitting in the hot tub with this dude. He will remain nameless. But he came over. We started talking. The conversation shifted to God, no God. He asked me a question. And I'll explain. He asked me a question. If a person, it was a comparison. Which person is more virtuous? Let's say that has more virtue. The person who believes in God and does all these things for people, or the person who doesn't believe in God but does the same things as the person who believes in God. He said, "Who's more virtuous?" My immediate response, because I was trying to find an answer, pride, was the person who believes in God. We ended the conversation. No ill will, you know. And then I'm getting ready, and God tells me, you answered that wrong. That's not at all the case. Think about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, Samaria, Samaritans were the bad guy per the Jews. But he did something that even the religious folk wouldn't do in helping somebody in need. And according to the religious folk, he should have been the villain in this parable. But he wasn't. God reminded me of that. And he said, it will rain on the just and the unjust alike. He brought all these different things to me to say, you answered wrong, son. That doesn't make you more virtuous. And he told me to go tell this guy. So when I was leaving, I went out of my way to find him, and I told him what I'm telling you. I said, you know what, man? I answered you wrong. It being that I don't believe that the person is more virtuous because they believe in God. God can use both people equally to do his will. God is no respecter of person. So God isn't sitting there separating, being like, hey, this good deed and this good deed, but because you love me, you follow me, your good deed is more important than their good deed. And it's not about the deeds. It's not about that. God, my faith is what has me stand out. Not what I'm doing or not doing. And there are people who don't believe in God who are doing... Let me stop. I'll just say this. What I'm trying to get at is, God, when he created people, he said it's very good. He didn't say just the people who follow me. God says he loves us. He didn't say just the ones who follow me. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves you. Whoever you are, even if you don't love him, he loves you. That's the point. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That we have a great God who loves us even when we are unlovable. I'm a parent. As a parent, and parents will get this, it's hard. Sometimes your kids rub you the wrong way. And you, but most of us don't write them off. Why? Because we love them. Even when they're doing wrong, we love them. Now, there are some who are the opposite of that, but that's a different tale for a different day. I have gone over. I hope you get where I was going with that. I pray that that is ministered into your heart. I pray that you understand the important piece in everything that I've said here is God loves you. Despite you, God loves you. Despite this, God loves you. Despite what you did last night, God loves you. Despite what you did 50 years ago, God loves you. Despite what you're going to do in about 5 minutes, God loves you. Despite what you're going to do in 5 years, God loves you. That's what I want you to get from this. And that's the whole purpose of the gospel. To restore us back to a relationship with God. To understand that God loves us. Despite us. Y'all have a blessed day. I love you. Peace.